This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW, and I'm at Martin Luther King Middle School here in San Francisco. And as I walk through the hall, I hear classical music. When I enter a classroom, in fact, when I enter several classrooms, I hear teachers blow on the harmonica. I look down at the end of the room and I see a countdown clock. What is going on? Joining me are Tracy Nick, who is a coach with the Safe and Supportive Schools here in San Francisco, and Michael Essien, who is the principal, who can talk about what are these things that are happening to help our children make good choices.
Great. Well, thank you for having us. What you saw is PBIS, which is Positive Behavior Intervention Supports. We are implementing behavior kernels that help students learn self-control and self-regulation versus students having to be self-managed by classroom teachers. So we're teaching them psychological flexibility so that in any area in their life, they have the tools and they're equipped to face adversity throughout their community.
So when I hear someone blowing on the harmonica, that's a bit different than if I hear a teacher saying, "Everyone, quiet down, quiet down." And it has an amazing effect on the atmosphere of the class.
Yes, we're trying to really limit secondary trauma that students can experience from things like clapping or raising their voice or yelling in the classroom. So the harmonica is a behavior kernel that has been researched and evidence-based to gain and relieve student attention. So we just have a gentle blow on the harmonica, a signal, so an auditory and visual cue for students to get quiet. So it sounds maybe something like this. A gentle cue to signal students, and students give their attention to the teacher fully versus a teacher using their voice for behavior management when it's their teaching tool.
Okay, and then when I walk down the hall during passing period, I didn't hear all that pandemonium. What I heard was classical music.
Yes, you know, I think students are starting to learn to self-regulate, and they don't have to act out. They have voice and they have advocacy in their community where they are creating the environment that they want to have. Students don't want chaos. Students don't want loud noises. And what we do is we do something called a See, Hear, Feel, Do poster with students. They talk about what they want to see more of in a classroom, what they want to see less of, what they want to hear more of, what they want to hear less of. And students talk about they don't want to hear loud noises. They don't want to hear yelling and arguing and people saying put-ups and, put-downs in their classroom. So we're really seeing that reflect not only in the classroom but in the hallway and the cafeteria. Students want this. They hold their peers accountable. And again, they're learning to self-regulate, so we don't have that experience, and the classical music just supports that.
So, Principal Michael Essien, one of the other things that I noticed is kids are helping decide what the expectations are for behavior in the classroom.
Well, thank you, Carol, for visiting our school today. Yes, so instead of doing things to children, we try to have a school experience where we do things with children. And so many of our students who might live on the outside of society, we try to build community with them. So we look to see what students want to see, hear, feel, do more and less of. And I think it has more impact and there's more buy-in from students when they help construct the rules and regulations at the school site as opposed to us telling them.
So if there's an activity, let's say, for example, there's a reading activity, one of the things that a teacher will do is prompt the kids ahead of the activity as to what would be things that you think should happen, and they will get an award for it in some way, too.
Correct. That's actually called playing the PAX Good Behavior Game. So they set what is called spleems. We have PAX and spleems. PAX are good things that you want to see more of. PAX and spleems. So PAX are things that we want to see, and the kids decided that's acceptable. Spleems are things that we don't want to see. So in the game, children are looking to receive 3 or fewer spleems during the game. And the game is when during instruction you will participate in the game for a set number of agreed upon amount of time. So say it's 3 minutes. And so in those 3 minutes, any off-task behaviors will be considered spleens. So teams are competing to have three or fewer spleens during any academic lesson.
So I noticed a couple of things. The kids actually can decide what are those things that I shouldn't be doing. So they would say, I shouldn't be pushing someone else who's at my desk, or I should be making sure I'm paying attention. What other kinds of spleens would kids be bringing up?
They could bring up being up out of their seat, throwing pencils, talking to people who aren't in your at your table group. So anything that would get them off task would be considered a spleen. And so there's a review of some general spleens, and then the game begins. And so the teacher becomes the moderator of spleens and will call out spleens, but not singling out any particular person. So like at a particular table, if somebody stands up, the teacher will just simply say spleen for table four, not calling out the particular student. And then the students at table four have to think, is it me? What's going on? And then they have the internal dialogue, and then they do the self-correction. The point being, the students need to self-regulate their own behavior.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW, and I'm at Martin Luther King Middle School here in San Francisco. Joining me are Tracy Nick, who is a coach for Safe and Supportive Schools, and Michael Essien, who is the principal. Now, Tracy, you've been doing a lot of this coaching, and what do you think is the sort of the neuroscience behind it? Why does this stuff kind of work?
This has really been decades and decades of neuroscience, biology, conducted by some of the best people in prevention science. So I'm just, you know, a novice of this and bringing it to teachers. I'm learning from them. Through my coaching, I have had the pleasure of working with amazing teachers who have taken this on and implemented this and have seen great results in their classrooms. So I have really been coached by them, and I'm just trying to share this with other teachers. So really what we're doing is we're working with the prefrontal cortex, the executive functioning part of the brain. We're really trying to build those neural pathways so that students have these skills built into their brain for later on in life.
And so, for example, if a student learns that if they're shoved or bumped in a classroom, they understand what an appropriate reaction is, and they have a positive reinforcement for acting that way. And so at a later time, if they're on the street, they will then automatically have the right kind of response rather than a fight or flight response.
Correct. Through playing the game and brain breaks and other types of rewards, we're teaching students to understand the chemicals that go on in their body under an excited condition in the classroom through the brain breaks. So, you know, again, we're building the executive functioning skills. We're teaching students to be able to self-regulate so that later on in life they have outcomes of having less substance abuse issues, less suicide ideology, prevention of smoking. And through other programs that we offer through pupil services, we're teaching students the words and the language through second step, through growth mindset. We're teaching students the actual language and to understand their own bodies and their own social, building their own social skills.
So what is the response? What's happened here at Martin Luther King Middle School? Has this shown up in any data that says you're on the right track?
Yes, yeah, so incorporating PACS Good Behavior Games has actually had its benefits. Not only have we had a reduction in suspensions, which was about 30%, and 67% reduction in referrals, our test scores went up in terms of sixth grade performance on the EWA, Integrative Writing Assessment, our performance on the SBAC test. And so when we're looking at the reduction in referrals and suspensions, there's a correlation. There's been an increase in academic performance of our students. So with PACS, we are addressing the equity issue. The implementation of PACS in itself is helping, it's dual in nature. It's helping teachers have classroom management and provide instruction, which is an equity issue for them. And then for our students, it's providing them a safe environment and access to curriculum so that they can actually improve their test scores.
So if I'm a parent, my child is here, what would you say to me about what we're doing?
I would say, one, come to our coffee chat so that we can hold a conversation. But then I would also share with you all of the things that we're doing in terms of not only our PACS good behavior games, our de-escalation, our restorative practices, so that parents can get an idea of the conversations that we're holding with their children as they spend the majority of the day with us, with adults who are trying to hold circles, restorative conversations, and using the harmonica to transition.
Well, I'd really, really like to thank Michael Essien, who is the principal, and Tracy Nick, who is the coach with Safe and Supportive Schools here at Martin Luther King Middle School. Where's that harmonica?
I'm never going to leave home without it.
Yeah. So that's what you'll hear in a classroom here at Martin Luther King Middle School. This is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW.